Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. Tonight, teaching toddlers about gay pride and relationship diversity. My guest is a psychology professor and author who has just published her first children's book. It's called This Day in June. It's a picture book about pride parades to help parents and teachers introduce sexual orientation diversity concepts to very young kids. The reading guide in the back of the book gives adults high points of LGBT culture and history. As a professor, my guest finds today's queer college students largely ignorant of LGBT history, and she's doing what she can to fix that. Over the next half hour, we'll talk about that, about This Day in June and other children's books with LGBT themes, and if time allows, about her forthcoming adult book, Fringe, on the edges of the mainstream gay community, and about some of the issues raised in her award-winning previous book, Backdrop, the politics and personalities behind sexual orientation research. Gail Pittman, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you.
Gail, I want to ask what inspired you, first of all, to write a book about LGBT pride for very young children, essentially for toddlers, right?
Yeah, I mean, for very young children. The story really is just a simple collection of rhyming couplets. I mean, so it's really geared towards very young children. And when I... Well, let me back up and say that I'm not a children's writer by training. I mean, I'm a college professor, so this hasn't been my long-time career. But several years ago, a friend of mine who is a children's book writer and illustrator started teaching some classes. She initially was teaching illustration classes and then started to veer into teaching writing classes. And she has this very persuasive personality, I guess you could say, and in her own charming way persuaded me to take one of her classes, kind of buttering up my ego and saying, oh, you'd be really good at it, kind of thing.
Yeah, anybody can draw.
Yeah, right. Well, and she was more focusing on the writing. You're an excellent writer. I've seen you writing for adults. You can do this for children, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I signed up for one of her classes with a little bit of trepidation, thinking, you know, this is so out of my wheelhouse. I've never done anything like this before. And it turned out to be so much fun. It just unlocked this whole different area of creativity. So I started writing children's books manuscript, which is not as easy as you might think it would be. I mean, it's actually a really challenging genre to write for. And the first stories that I started writing really had nothing to do with LGBT-related topics. It just was whatever sparked my fancy, whatever came to mind. But maybe about a year and a half, maybe 2 years into just kind of writing for fun, writing for creativity and so forth, I just got this idea. It's kind of embarrassing to say this, but I think I was actually at a meeting at work.
Staff meeting at the college?
Something like that. And, you know, looking like I'm listening raptly to whatever's being discussed, but in the meantime, kind of doodling in the margins and writing things. And somewhere in the doodles, I started coming up with these little rhymes. Like, pride somehow ended up in my brain, and I started making up these little rhymes in the margins of my notebook. And then later on that evening, when I got home, I actually started to play with it and thought, oh, my gosh, this would be such a fun children's story. And then I thought, well, of course somebody else has done this before. I mean, who wouldn't want to write a story about a big, fun parade? So I got online and started doing some research. And lo and behold, found that one other book had been written about Pride, a book by Leslie Newman, who's a well-known author, not just children's book, but a variety of books in a variety of different genres. And she wrote her book back in the early 1990s. And since then, there'd been nothing about Pride. And so I thought, well, you know, okay, I can take a stab at this. And so wrote the story. I have a critique group that I meet with periodically, you know, went through the ringer of getting critiqued again and again and again. And, you know, the rest is history. Now it's ended up into This Day in June.
And it just was published in May, right?
Just this past May, about a month ago. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's hear a little bit of it. I mean, this is funny. I have authors come in and read from time to time. I say, well, read us a little short passage, but you know, the whole book could be potentially read in a couple of minutes.
Right.
If you're writing really slowly for kids, it would make sense. You might take a long time. The illustrations are really quite beautiful and well done. So to whatever extent you can describe them.
Yeah. I mean, this is where radio is probably not the best medium for a book like this, because the illustrations really are just unbelievably stunning. And I wish that Christina Litton could be here to talk about her creative process in illustrating the book, because it is the kind of book where you open it up and it just jumps out. I mean, it is alive with color and joy and fun and exuberance, and it comes out in every single illustration. So,
well, if you go to our website, outinthebay.org, at least you'll see the cover of the book, which is one of her illustrations. So that'll give you an idea, a little flavor of it. And then on KALW.org, a different illustration. We've used the Dykes on Bikes one in that one.
Yes.
So the Dykes on Bikes is in the book, but not called that.
Right. At least not in this story. So the story itself, you're absolutely right, is very short and sweet and to the point. There are there's some longer text at the back of the book, which I won't go into detail reading, although we'll probably have some time to talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, if you'd like me to read the story, I'd be more than happy to. So This Day in June is the title of the book. This day in June, parade starts soon. Rainbow arches, joyful marches. And just to describe, the image is of a cityscape, and you see these balloon rainbow arches that are just lining the parade route. Motors roaring, spirits soaring. This is the Dykes on Bikes page.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the motorcycles always usually start off the parade, don't they?
Yes, and actually a couple of weeks ago, I took my daughter to Sacramento Pride. Sacramento is where I live, and she's, of course, seen this book a bazillion times. And, of course, the parade, I mean, you don't even see the parade at first. You just hear the vroom, 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 vroom. And she heard that, and she was like, Mommy, that's exactly like your book. And so she was familiar with the whole idea that that's what starts off, that's what kicks it off. Kicks off the whole excitement.
Which is the kind of the whole idea of a book like this, is to get kids an idea of something that's going to, what they're going to see
right.
before they see it.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Voices chanting, doggies panting. And in this particular spread, there's lots of rainbows. There's rainbow flags, rainbow tutus, rainbow wigs, rainbow all over the place. And there are also signs, and you see that peppered throughout the book, signs that have some sort of political connotation to it. Moving equality forward, love beats hate, proud parent, I love my gay sons. And I'm just reading this from this particular two-page spread. So that was voices chanting, doggies panting. Clad in leather, perfect weather. And there are people clad in leather on this two-page spread. Artists painting, sisters sainting. And this particular spread refers, the sisters refers to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And at the back of the book, where there's more information about LGBT history and culture, I go into some more detail about who the sisters are and what type of work they do in various communities and how they originated and so forth.
Hold on just a second. Let
sure.
me just take a quick look at this. Yeah, that's good. Not quite as over the top as the actual Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, but it certainly gives the flavor.
Yeah, I think Christina did a really good job of preserving the integrity of Pride.
And yet without making it too scary for a kid.
Yeah, I mean, keeping it real, but making it kid-friendly.
Scared if they saw an actual sister
it's so
of
funny.
Perpetual Indulgence.
Well, I have
Although
to tell...
Although beautiful, don't take that as a slam.
I have to tell a quick story, and I know I'm in the middle of reading this story, but... right when my book was published, I had a friend of mine threw a launch party for me. So a bunch of friends, community members and so forth came to the party. And the local order in Sacramento of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence came to the party and did a book blessing for me. And so there were lots of children at this party. And of course, there's sisters all in full face and regalia and so forth. And there was one little girl who came to this party who was from my daughter's school who had never heard of, I mean, this was so out of her wheelhouse. I mean, she was coming to the party because we're friends with her. And she got to the house. She's walking down the sidewalk. There was a sister that was walking towards the house coming towards her from the opposite direction. And her mom was telling me later that her eyes got huge. And she said, Mommy, what is that? And her mom wasn't really sure either because she wasn't familiar with the sisters. But once she was introduced and got some information, she was fine. I mean, it was new and she was digesting it, but it was scary in its newness, but not
in a threatening way. Right, not at all. Of course. Yeah.
And then she actually enjoyed it and had fun and was, you know, very playful and so forth.
Right, right.
So that's artist painting, sisters sainting. Banners swaying, children playing. Dancers jumping, music pumping, and there's a float with lots of, it's sort of like a underwater theme with sailors and mermaids. Sidewalk shaking, tummies aching. And I put that line in there because it's about two-thirds of the way through the story. I figured that's about the time in the parade when a child would start to have their sensory overload meltdown.
Which you're familiar with as a mom.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. You think it goes away when they get older and not so much. Painted ladies, crying babies. The painted ladies kind of being a play on words. And there's images of the San Francisco painted ladies in the background, the houses
yeah. mm-hmm.
along Alamo Square. Fancy dresses, flowing tresses. This is one of those illustrations where I wish I could show a visual, that radio is not the best medium because it's very, very...
Well, we can describe this a little bit. We've got a rainbow. It's more than a tutu. It's a full-on... I don't even know what to call that. See, you're right. I don't know. I don't know enough fashion terminology.
There's ruffles, there's sparkles, there's glitter, there's sequins, there's over-the-top wigs, there's feathers, there's... a woman wearing a costume that sort of evokes this peacock sort of thing. There's the peacock feathers on her head.
And some may be biological women and others might not be.
It's hard to know. Right. Exactly. It's hard to know if people are doing drag. It's hard to know I guess it's all drag. I mean, gender identity, regardless, just very fun, colorful, over the top costuming. Loving kisses, so delicious. And here we see lots of couples, some of whom are kissing, some of whom are holding hands or hugging each other. There's two women wearing bridal dresses on a tandem bicycle. And there's little children. There's children all throughout the story in every single set of illustrations. All invited, all excited. And we see a collection of people's feet walking along the parade path. This day in June, we're all united. And that's filled with images of people that were in the previous spreads, just all together holding this banner in unity.
And that's it.
And that's it. It comes to 63 words. And they say that in the children's book world, that's one of the hard parts about writing a children's story is that you don't have a lot of real estate. If you're writing for adults,
Well, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, coming from academia especially, that must be quite a shift. But as you said, a refreshing one.
It is. Well, I find it to be an exciting and fun challenge. You know, that the general standard is that you want, if you're writing a picture book, you want to have 600 words or less, which is not easy. I mean, try writing a story and conveying it from beginning to end and having a narrative arc and a plot and some character development and, some sort of an issue and a climax and resolution. I mean, all of that in 600 words or less. And so this was 63. So I guess I'm an overachiever on that front.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. You're listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. My guest is Gail Pittman, women's studies and psychology professor at Sacramento City College. She's just published her first children's book called This Day in June, introducing very young kids to pride celebrations and relationship diversity. You know, it's funny. I didn't know how to pitch this. Like, I was some of my earlier when I was writing the promos, like that. Oh, she's this book teaches kids about sexual orientation, but that's not quite true. I mean, it kind of is, but it has really nothing to do with sex,
right?
Because that's a concept that kids that age aren't going to get or understand or should understand, perhaps anyway.
Right.
But they do understand something about relationships. They see adults in various relationships.
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting observation. I think it's a book. Okay, now let me think about how I want to frame this. I think it's a book that gives kids a glimpse into LGBT culture. And you can take that in any direction you want to. So children might hear the story, and then that's the end of that, right? You read the story, and then they are on to the next one. Or they might hear the story, and they might have some questions about some of the images that are in the book, or about some of the words, or the rhyming, or what have you. They might ask about the sisters, or they might ask, why is that woman wearing a bra? Or why is that person wearing leather?
Or not wearing a bra.
Well, in the book, everybody's wearing something.
That's true. So
we're not going there for kids.
Okay.
But they might have questions. And so it's an opportunity for, whoever's reading the book to potentially answer those questions, give some more information. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I think a lot of, whether it's a parent or an adult reading to a child, the issue that a lot of them face is that this is something they want to talk to kids about, but they're not really sure how. So, sometimes there's a fear of, oh my gosh, if I read something like this, then they're going to ask me about why they're wearing leather or why they're just wearing a bra or what have you. And that's one of the reasons why at the end of the book, I included that reading guide, the guide for how to talk to children in various age ranges and age-appropriate ways, how to talk to kids about sexual orientation and about gender identity and how to field those types of questions.
Well, so let's go into that a little bit because, I guess I was a little bit surprised myself when I saw the page with leather. I was like, oh, wow, she's including leather in here. So what's the reading guide? First of all, go back to the page with the leather in it and just maybe get a little bit of a description of the of the illustrations there.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see. There are men and women, and potentially, you know, you see some elements of gender nonconformity as well. You see individuals wearing sunglasses. You see individuals wearing leather caps. You see leather shorts. You see jackets, vests. There's an individual wearing
no chaps there.
No chaps. Okay. Although there is an individual in the back with the leather straps across his chest.
A harness. And then, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Harness and right. The shorts. There's a woman that's wearing, I'm presuming, leather pants because they're dark, and a bra and a lei, and she has an ice cream cone. So there's a lot of what you would see at a pride celebration, but not, you know, total nudity or over
right.
the top or anything inappropriate, but honest. I mean, an honest portrayal
right.
of what you'd
and the idea
see.
Is that, so if a kid goes to a parade and sees somebody, people in leather, they're not going to go like, they're not going to be freaked out about it.
Right. And actually, I don't think most kids would be freaked out about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know,
they might ask because it's something they haven't seen before.
They might. Mm-hmm. Probably what they're more likely to do is absorb the reactions of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if a child, I mean, children are just inherently creative. And, you know, you watch the play of children and they dress up as anything and they pretend to be all sorts of different things and their imaginations are just boundless.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you have somebody that's wearing leather. If they don't understand the history or the connotation behind it, to them, it's a non-issue. But if someone, an adult near them, has a reaction to it, they're absolutely going to absorb that. And then you better believe they're going to have questions and then their own reactivity to it.
So now read the part in the reading guide about the leather page. And what's the all that says there is clad in leather, perfect weather.
It says clad in leather, perfect weather. So in the reading guide, I didn't go into extensive detail. So I didn't talk about, you know, BDSM or those kinds of relationships or what have you, keeping in mind that we're gearing this towards younger children, but to give them a little bit of understanding of why leather might show up at a pride parade, and also to give adults some understanding that it's not just about BDSM. It is partly about that, but it's not just about that. There's actually a history to it. So I'll read this section.
And this is from the guide for adults.
Right. So there's a reading guide in the back where each two-page spread is aligned with some more history and culture and information. So for the page that says clad in leather, perfect weather, I write, the association between gay men and leather originated in the post-World War II era. It provided an alternative to the image that stereotyped gay men as feminine. Leather also provided a symbol of visibility for gay men. In the 1950s, it was generally not safe for people to be openly gay, and thus the leather jacket became a way for gay men to identify other gay men. Later, leather became associated with the lesbian community mainly as an expression of feminism. So it's kind of just skimming the surface, giving a little bit
but
of information.
But it's giving some historical context and some clues to the culture for people who don't know about it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, cluing adults into the fact that there's so many elements of LGBT culture that really were rooted in secrecy, you know, mm-hmm. in keeping one's identity completely quiet and on the down low and, mm-hmm. and finding ways of finding community without, like, outing yourself completely, you know, finding these sort of secret code words or these
right.
symbols or
right.
ways of communicating to other people that, hey, I'm a quote unquote member of the club type thing.
So why is it important to introduce these concepts to kids as young as, I guess this is intended for 3 to 6 year olds,
mm-hmm.
roughly?
Yeah. Well, the publisher gears it between 4 and 8. And when I wrote at least the rhyming portion of the story, I really was thinking earlier. I mean, this is a story that you could read to a young toddler. You could read it to someone who has just a basic grasp of language. So you could read it to a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, and you could read it to someone that's older as well, definitely. So why did I, what?
Why is it important? Yeah. Why do kids need to know this?
Because
why should they?
Because change starts now, you know? If we want, I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean, it's amazing to me how much change has happened just even in the last decade, you know, how much we've advanced in the realm of LGBT rights and how much awareness and how much acceptance has grown, not just in the Bay Area, but throughout the country. But at the same time, there's still a lot of hate out there, and there's still a lot of resistance, and there's a lack of acceptance. And I think a lot of it starts with young kids. If young kids can't, I mean, young kids, I believe, start from an accepting standpoint that everything they're learning is new. I mean, they come into the world and the whole entire world.
There's no value judgment. It's just
right,
there.
Right. It's just there. They're just, you know, they're taking in information and trying to figure it out, categorize it, and then, you know, digest it. It's the adults that give the value judgment. So if we can start by preserving that acceptance in children and at the same time teach adults about some of the history and culture, the historical and cultural elements of LGBT, the LGBT community, then that's where I think movement happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, it starts as early as possible in my mind.
And where have you, what kind of reaction have you gotten? I mean, I dropped by the library this afternoon where Gail read, and she said she's gotten some reaction from, you know, a little bit of negative reaction, and I'm curious to know how that's been, what kind of things people have been reacting to.
Yeah, well, so I will say that most of the response that I've gotten has been overwhelmingly positive, especially from adults. I mean, I can't tell you how many it actually warms my heart because I can't tell you how many adults have told me that they read this story and they laughed or they smiled or it warmed their heart. There was one woman, I don't even know how she got my phone number, but I was driving home from work and a number popped up that I was unfamiliar with. And so, you know, when I answered, she told me who she was, and she said that she was, you know, involved in an LGBT center. She was the director of a center, and that she read the book and that she cried. I mean, she cried after reading the book. And I think, and she doesn't have children. She just, you know, had gotten the copy of the book as a review copy. And it made me think, wow, there's so many people who have grown up, and myself included, grown up in a culture where being gay or being lesbian or being trans or being anything but straight and cisgendered, it wasn't acceptable. And so to have something that's positive and affirming and exuberant and exciting, like just how amazing is that for this generation? That's most of the response that I've gotten. Gotten a little bit of negative response. This is what you were referring to via our conversation at the library, where an elementary school in Oakland did a family pride assembly. I was invited to participate. I wasn't actually able to be there, but I made a little video and sent it off to them. And they didn't so much target the book. I mean, that was a little, they focused on it, but it wasn't like the major focus. It was more the fact that they even had this assembly in the first place, mm-hmm. focusing on LGBT families. Anyway, a conservative group got it on their radar screen, wrote this big article, published it on the internet, then a bunch of other conservative groups reblogged it. And so it's been kind of circulating and it's really just nasty and hateful, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. these horrible people that are teaching about queer pride to 5-year-olds and, you know, ruining children. And they're doing exactly what we were afraid that they were going to do. They're teaching this in schools. And, you know, it's just, it's so sad. Mm-hmm. It's just so incredibly sad to me.
You're hearing Out on the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guest is psychology and women's studies professor and author Gail Pittman, who's just published This Day in June to introduce young kids to diversity concepts. We're discussing teaching kids and adults about gender and sexual orientation and LGBT history. Now, when we spoke last week, actually we traded some emails. You said that today's LGBT college students are disconnected from LGBT history, culture, and politics, and that even though This Day in June is a children's book, you wrote the you know, the end material with your students in mind. What are the key things in history that they don't know about?
Well, so let me be clear and say that this is what I see with my students. It's hard to make a blanket statement about students across the board. But, you know, I'd like to think that the students that I have are fairly, you know, like they've had a pretty good education and they're reasonably open-minded for the most part. And there's so many things that they don't know about. So if I make a reference to the Stonewall riots, for example, most of the students have no idea what I'm talking about. And then when I explain it to them, it's like the light goes on and, you know, it's again, that digesting new information. They don't know that the rainbow flag has some symbolism to it and some history to it. They don't know that the pink triangle has actually a pretty strong history to it. There's so many, some of them know who Harvey Milk was because, you know, he's achieved some notoriety. Some have watched the film, some, you know, so there's been a little bit more knowledge, I would say, with respect to him as a, you know, well-known figure. But in terms of these other things, I mean, there's a whole history that's just being lost. I think the thing that really makes me nervous, and this is something that kind of came up on my radar screen recently, is that there's a film that I show in one of my classes, about the AIDS crisis and the work that ACT UP did back in the 1980s and 1990s. And when I show that film, Most of my students that are of the millennial age, you know, kind of coming of age through the 90s and the 2000s and now in college, they have no idea that any of this happened. I mean, they know what HIV and AIDS are. They know, maybe they know what they need to do to protect themselves. It's actually amazing how many students have no idea and never got any of that information. But they watch this film and they think, and they say afterwards, you know, I mean, they're stunned. I mean, they just have no idea the millions and millions of people who died from that disease.
Right.
And the history behind that. And it's mind-boggling. And it's scary that this is, it's so recent, at least to me, it's recent. And it's a relatively recent history that's in danger of being lost.
Right, right. So just just kind of quickly, you mentioned that you teach the psychology of sexual orientation. That's one of the classes you teach.
Yes.
What are the kind of high points of that? I mean, in 30, but I want in 30 seconds, give me a semester course.
Oh my gosh. The high points. The thing that I love the most about that class is there's so many different types of people that take it. I get lots of LGBT students that take it. I get people who know someone and want to learn more. I get people, I had a student recently who is very religious, like extreme, very religious Christian, and believes with all of his heart that homosexuality is a sin, and has never questioned that. And then his brother came out to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, he has this cognitive dissonance and came to my office and started asking some questions. You know, here I am religious. My brother is gay. I love my brother, but I don't love that part of him. What do I do about this? And I suggested he take my class. So I have students like that that take the class. And it's so amazing to watch their process over a 16-week semester.
Just now, when you say the psychology of sexual orientation, is it about like kind of, you know, an individual who is gay and how they deal with that in the world and how that affects them, or is there new research on how that's changed over the years?
Are
there new trends?
There's tons of research. Yeah, I mean, I feel the pressure of like throwing everything but the kitchen sink into that class. It focuses on development. It raises questions. My course raises questions about what causes sexual orientation and whether or not that's a question that we should even be asking and the political implications of that. We talk about health. We talk about mental health. We talk about relationships. We talk about sexuality. We talk about religion and spirituality. Lots of different topics that we skip through over the course of the term.
Okay. Thanks for that. The 1 minute summary.
Yeah, right. I tried for 30
seconds.
I got to
go take that class. No, it's fine. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, Gay Radio from San Francisco. Big thanks to tonight's guest, psychology professor and author Gail Pittman, who's just published her first children's book this day in June to introduce very young kids to diversity concepts. You can learn more about it and about her books for adults and her very informative blog and other work on her website, gailpittman.com. Now, by the way, she's no relation to Marilyn Pittman, my co-host, and Pittman in this case is spelled with one T.
Correct.
So it's Gail, GailePittman, GailPittman.com. We'll have her link on our website, too, outinthebay.org. You can hear tonight's show and a year of past shows and a dozen of our all-time favorites on our website, outinthebay.org. You can also sign up for free podcasts and get the Stitcher app. That's right, Stitcher, that lets you hear radio programs on mobile devices. We've had some reports lately that it's hard to listen on smartphones, but with the Stitcher app, it's free and it's easy, and I've been told it works really well. I haven't done it yet myself. So download the Stitcher app or just go for the free podcast at outinthebay.org. Out in the Bay is independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman, with occasional help from associate producer Nora Elmaligi. We thank KLW, our host station, for studio use and airtime, and tonight's engineer, Joanne Marr. As an independent production, not a KLW staff production, Out in the Bay receives no financial help from KLW. We depend on community support, so please go to our website and consider a donation, outinthebay.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by San Francisco musician Holly Ann Mead. We'd love to hear from you with segment suggestions, comments, and questions. So write to us, eric@outinthebay.com and marilyn@outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening.
Tonight's Out in the Bay interview with Gail Pittman first aired last June. Since then, her children's book, This Day in June, has won the American Library Association's 2015 Stonewall Award and the International Reading Association's Notable Books for a Global Society Award. It was named on the Advocate's 40 Under 40 list as one of the most important books of the decade. Links to more information at outinthebay.org.